It looked to me like it's a good place for good habits.
Welcome to Beyond the Chutes, is presented by Parasite Systems. My name is Doug Simcox, and I'm your host. For 66 years, Attica, New York has had a tradition. The first weekend in August, it puts on its rodeo. It draws competitors, spectators, sponsors, and rodeo fans. It all started with the boys in the white shirts. Young men with an interest in rodeo. Dean Sawyers remembers.
At first rodeo itself, we put the sack and everything together. It was just a start. They had no idea that it would grow to the extent that it has grown. Nobody did. And it started out, the rodeo, the club was Attica Chaffee Rodeo, because there was quite a few members from the Chaffee area at that time. And then it turned out it was the Attica Rodeo. And it went from there. Originally, the whole rodeo started in our backyard because we had a place. It was just ground. There was a wire fence around it, a couple miles from where the rodeo grounds is. We had a little arena there where I always had some half Black Angus calves to rope, and we got together there to start with, and then it went from the local kids, different kids got a horse. And the club developed from that. I had calves at that time, which we used at the rodeo for the calf open. And I wouldn't doubt Dave Wheeler and Gene Redding and those different guys that belonged to it had some bucking horses and that in there also. And I don't know if it was the first rodeo, but I bought a Brahma bull and some cows from Shimp. And down in Pennsylvania, really the first one, we more or less rounded up local livestock to use in the contest.
After the first year's rodeo, a neighbor offered a piece of land for the cowboys to use.
Mr. Potman owned the land, and he wanted to have a rodeo there. But what he actually wanted was a place for the neighborhood kids to all get together and do something. And it's something Mr. Putman, he seen in the beginning, he saw all the local kids, including he had a boy. They needed a place to keep busy with their horses. Built a little cook shack out of just old boards. Eventually, the club got together, and Dave Wheeler's father built the one that is they currently use. That's been there for several years now. They have a very nice food stand. And there's an area next to it that has covered, and there's picnic tables in there so people can go in there and sit down and have their lunch.
Jenny Kerr remembers going to her first rodeo.
When I first started going to the Attica Rodeo, I lived just down the street from the rodeo grounds there on Exchange Street. Mm-hmm. And I was about 8 years old when I started going in 1959.
Wow.
And I knew the Sawyer boy, Dean Sawyer, and I knew David Wheeler. And they were older people than I was, but I followed them from the beginning. I can remember my parents telling me if I was a good girl, I could go to the rodeo that year because it was just starting. And I always had a love for horses. So my mom would take us kids and we'd go along the roadside and pick up pop cans and turn them in. And I would always save my money to go to the rodeo.
Boy, that brings back the memories. Do you remember when you set a goal at the beginning of a summer to save enough money to make a special purchase or go to a special event, how that helped you focus on that the anticipation. And remember, this rodeo is the first full weekend in August, so towards the end of the summer. And if she couldn't find enough pop cans, Jenny started to concoct a backup plan.
When Mr. Putnam donated the land for the guy to build the arena down there, I was going to school with either his daughters or his granddaughters. They were twin girls. And we used to ride the bus together. And I always asked the girls, if I didn't get enough money from collecting pop bottles, could I come and go through their barn so that I could get into the rodeo anyway? But I can remember as a kid, I'd go down there and I would groom the horses between shows for Mr. Wheeler and Mr. Sawyer. And I must have been about 10. But that was my main goal in the summertime, to be a good girl and find all those pop cans so that I could go to the road. The biggest hype for me, because I always liked to go to the rodeo, it's because it was a big deal. The whole town was going to be there. That was the biggest thing around when I was a kid growing up. It always rained, and I felt bad for those cowboys the first weekend of every August. They would get so muddy, and the horses looked terrible, and all of that. And that's why when I was a little girl, I used to go and brush down some of the cowboys' horses. Okay. You know, just to make them more presentable for the public. If you've been by the attic of prison, at that time there was a driveway at the south end of the prison. I lived right across the street. Okay. I used to walk from my house down to the rodeo grounds all by myself, and it was pretty cool to do that when you were about 10. Yeah, just watching them ride, because they were all older than me. Oh, I'm telling you, they're in my mind as if they were yesterday. But that's where my love of horses started, was right there at that rodeo ground. I was always looking at the horses. I was over the moon with that because of the horses and the activity. I happened to meet up with one of my schoolmates down there. They were looking at the cowboys, but I wanted the horses. And my slogan today is, my queendom for a horse.
My queendom for a horse. I love it. And when you think about what really started this rodeo 66 years ago, the interest in this rodeo, it was those boys in the white shirts and the fun they were having with their horses. John McCormick remembers those early days.
My uncle, Howie Hartman, I think he bought some horses for the rodeo when they started. He was involved in it. And we went to horse shows. I knew Jerry Wheeler. At that time, he had Copper, his horse Copper. And that was back in the 50s, I think, somewhere around there. And Bernie Buckmore, Dean Sawyer, they were older than me. I knew them from horse shows that we went to every weekend. Batavia Pride and Saddle Club had the horse shows every weekend. And we used to travel here and there to the horse shows. Show horse. Then I heard they were talking about starting a rodeo club. And I tried to talk my dad into it. We were farmers back then. I said, I'd like to get involved in it. He says, well, it's going to take a lot of time out of farm work. He says, I can't let you do it. So I says, okay. So when they had their first rodeo, we went to it. I went every Saturday from the time it started. Sometimes I go on a Sunday too. And it was a good afternoon. And I was probably in my 16 years old at that time, because they were 3 or 4 years older than me. And it was a small rodeo. You never imagine it would get to be where it is today.
In addition to starting the rodeo, they also started the rodeo club. Can you imagine all of the work it has taken to get the rodeo grounds into the condition that it's in today? All of the volunteers, all of the members, and all of their time. Dean Sawyer talks about building and improving the rodeo grounds over the years.
The club, they keep that ground immaculate. There were some weather years, I can't tell you what year it was, but they've had to deal with weather. The one year it was so wet, they took the ground out of the arena and put new ground in to make it better. It was just one of those real wet years. And today they've built it up so that the ground is probably the best rodeo ground you could find anywhere. Good footing. And they've got good seating on both sides. A man by the name of Junior T, I believe he helped build the first set of bleachers, and then it went from there. And through the years, there's been several people, different people, helped build the announcer stand, and they've got good chutes and the whole thing. They've built it so it's like a professional attire for the whole rodeo. And so through the years, what it's grown to where they've hired a contractor that comes in and he provides the stock, all the stock. And he provides an announcer, but the club still has control of the whole situation.
John McCormick talks about the hard work that this rodeo club has put in over the years, building on the vision of those original boys in the white shirts.
But I'll tell you one thing, it put my mind to it that you can do whatever you want to do in life. These young men went out on their own and started this thing. They put more or less Attica, as far as I'm concerned, on the map. And how has it grown over the years, so forth. And inspired me, and I think it inspires a lot of young kids, especially around Attica and Alexander area. I was originally from Elba. And they put on one hell of a show, and they made their dreams come true. They followed their dreams and made it come true. And the schools in Attica and Alexander would put it in their curriculum a little bit about how these boys made it. It'd be great for all the young kids today.
John McCormick raises a very, very interesting point here. These young men in their early 20s, 19 years old maybe, were determined to put on that first rodeo, set their mind to it, put everything in order, and said, we're going to do it. Kind of put a stake in the ground, if you will. Created this vision, and onward they went. I think, and I agree with John McCormick, great lesson to be teaching the young folks these days. Set a goal, have a plan, and put that plan into motion. Rob Wright, the president of the Attica Rodeo Club, talks about his earliest memories at the rodeo grounds.
I grew up there. My dad was a beginner there, or started it. And the arena and all the back pens were all a little different then. But Harry Payton used to bring in the stock with the pot for Bud. Mm-hmm. And we can remember all of us kids hanging around there waiting for Harry to come in, and he'd have that neckerchief tied around his neck when he was bigger than life, and watch that stock. And that's kids are doing that today, to this day, watch that stock get off that pot. And that's the true start of the weekend. As a kid, you just remember that kind of stuff and the involvement in the calf scrambles and the mutton bustings.
Rob Wright does a great job of painting the picture of the anticipation of the rodeo coming to town. Remember when Jenny talked about picking up pop bottles at the side of the road? The anticipation grows, but to see that big semi roll in with all that livestock and get them unloaded, now it's real. It's here. Rodeo time. Peggy Spade talks about the first time she went to the rodeo.
The first time I went, Phil and I were not married at the time. We were just dating. And as it turns out, his oldest son, Stephen, was coming out of the chutes, and we didn't even know he was going to be a contestant. And it was really crazy because there you are, second generation, coming out of the chutes. And that was a long time ago. That was like 1980. And again, it was just a happy crowd. They were all cheering. He didn't do too well, but he had a good time. And everybody made mention of the fact that his father had gone out of those chutes so many times before. It was very exciting. It was just a wonderful part of our lives.
Chuck Muscolino talks about going to the rodeo in those early days and the competitors.
We started going to Attica to the rodeos, which was pretty rough back then in the late 60s. All the stands weren't built like it is today. And I got to know a lot of the guys. I knew a lot of the guys that were competing at that time. I would say they were towards the end of their careers in their late 20s. And a good friend of mine, his name was Phil Spade. I don't know if anybody else mentioned him. He was a Rustock rider. And we became good friends, and I helped him train a couple of his horses, which I got into. I trained horses more than anything. But some of the events were watching Phil's son the first time he would come out on a bareback horse, and watching Gary ride there, and Mike Swearinger, of course, and all the Swearinger boys.
John mentioned some great rodeo cowboys, all New York rodeo cowboys. John grew up in the Rochester neighborhood and was part of what became the Rochester Rodeo Cowboys. Gary Sicoria and Russ Romano are both friends of his. And of course, he mentions the Swearingen boys. Mike Swearingen, four-event cowboy. He was a bareback bronc rider, saddle bronc rider, bull rider, steer wrestler, and his brother Danny Swearingen, a bull rider. And of course, Sam Swearingen, my co-host here on Beyond the Chutes. He's a saddle bronc rider. And Rob Wright has been the pickup man at Attica for many years. His job on horseback is to pick up the cowboys after their 8-second rides and set them safely on the ground.
Yeah, the competition is great. And as a pickup man, I see a lot of inside the arena. I can remember myself as a pickup man, one of the biggest wrecks I had there was a hang-up. And I come in to put the rope on just like I always do, and the horse double back around me. So just instinct, you let go of everything and you mug him to the ground like a steer wrestling and help get the guy off. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I still remember that to this day. It was a young kid that was starting out. It was a protege of Freddie Backless's, actually. And it just way the horse come out, turned, he come off.
You can see that the pickup man is vital to the safety of the cowboys. To do it properly, they need to put themselves in harm's way. And Rob has had his share of rodeo injuries over the year, so if you see him at the rodeo, please introduce yourself and thank him for what he does. Now, speaking of wrecks in the arena, Chuck Muscolino had one in the team penning that he shares.
I could tell you about the wreck. I was bringing a steer down the wall, down the arena wall, and it got loose. And I was chasing it to bring it back and put it in the pen. And as I got to the hip of the steer, he decided he was going to make a hard right hand turn right under my horse. And that was a wreck. I was laying there on the ground, rode the horse right into the ground, actually. And she came over on top of me, and the steer rolled over both of us. And I drove home, and I called my wife, and I told her what happened. So I put the horse away that night. And took care of her first, of course. So anyways, I wound up breaking my, I can't get a name out of the bone. It's a chicken wing, but I broke one in five places.
Chuck broke his shoulder blade team pennant in five places. After he was healed up, he went on to compete for many more years. You need to be tough to rodeo. Now, you've heard the saying, this ain't my first rodeo. Well, for New York rodeo cowboy Kelly Page, Attica was his first rodeo ever.
I started to go to Attica at a really young age because it was a rodeo in our hometown, or close to our hometown. And I remember watching them guys ride bucking horses. And at our ranch, I was always the first to get on our young horses. And we had a bunch of them. And I was the lightest, so I'd be the first. And I always loved bucking them out. And then we'd always go to Attica Rodeo. And I remember sitting in the stands and watching them bucking horses come out. And then I learned that you got paid for it. And that kind of planted the seed for me. I wanted to try that. And because I knew I could stay on. And when I graduated from college, I asked a friend of mine if I could borrow his rigging, and I was going to enter rodeo. I was going to enter Attica. My first rodeo that I entered was Attica, New York. So this was the very first bronc that I ever got on, was at Attica, New York. I didn't even know the rules. I just knew you had to stay on for 8 seconds. So they opened up the chute, and I rode them. And they said no score on that. And they said, because I missed him out. Gentleman Doc Van Buren says, hey, if you mark out the next one and you get a score, I'll give you $50. And so I learned what that mark out rule was. Jumped on another one the next night and marked him out and got a score. And I got my $50. So that was my first professional ride, if you want to say it. Was at Attica. And the next year, I got my ARA card. And Attica, it's always the first weekend in August. And we always rodeoed around that week. And we had to make sure that we were in the area come August. Usually, Gary was the same weekend, so it was easy. But we always made Attica. I can't remember a season where I didn't ride at Attica. I rode all three events at Attica at one point or another. Didn't do so shiny on the saddle bronc. I could stay on, but it wasn't pretty. And the bulls, I rode bulls everywhere else and could stick it on them. But I remember I entered at Attica and got bucked off, one of my few. I loved Attica. Never really did great there, but it was always my hometown show, so we always made it. I entered saddle bronc one year and got bucked off at Attica. For me, bucking off was kind of rare. I counted them up one year, and I was on over 700 bareback horses and got bucked off 13 times before the whistle. So I didn't always ride them pretty, but I was pretty sticky. And to get bucked off at my hometown, it was a little upsetting, but it was kind of like being on TV. Whenever I was on TV, I always get a poor horse or ride terrible. Or I always wanted to stay away from the television set. So my first bareback ride was in Attica. I think it was 2004. Fred Backlis and I, we were both retired at the time, and Tracy English was putting on a Bulls and Bronx at the Turning Point Casino. And Freddie and I entered because Tracy needed riders. I had been retired for 3 years, and Freddie a little bit longer than that. But we entered up at that rodeo, and some of the young kids were standing around. I heard them say, hey, who are them old guys? And we climbed on our Bronx, and the old guys took first and second. And at that rodeo, and then I think it was Sam found out that I rode at that rodeo, so he called me up and he says, hey, you're entered in Attica. And I said, dadgummit, I haven't rode in 3 years, and now I'm going to ride back to back one day right after another. So I got on a horse at Attica the next day, and my poor glove hadn't been used in 3 years, and at every jump I heard that sucker squeak. I was on a pretty good horse of Sam's, and every jump, I'm telling you, it was eat, and it was coming out, and I was not going to get bucked off at Attica. And the 8 second the buzzer went off, and I just let go, and off over the back I went, and I ended up third, but I kind of landed on my neck, and I'm like, man, I've got a family, and I said, that's got to be it. And so that was my last bucking horse that I got on, and that happened to be at Attica too. So wow. My first and last at Attica.
Talk about coming full circle. Kelly rode his first and last bareback horses ever at the Attica Rodeo. Now, you got to know there were about 15 or 20 years between those two events. And I love the story he shared about the young guys asking who the old guys were. And, of course, those old guys went on and took the young guys' money at that particular rodeo. Kelly talks about the pressures of riding in Attica. Attica was a home base for Kelly and for many, many New York professional rodeo cowboys and cowgirls. And many went on and represented their hometown and their state as they traveled and competed all over the country. They helped put New York on the map, and it all started in their hometown arena at Attica.
Attica was almost like a mecca for, if I'm using the right term, for cowboys up here in the Northeast. And I mean, we had a slew of them around here. We had, of course, Freddie Backless, and who was one of the best in the nation. And we had the Mike Swearingen and Sam Swearingen. Them guys could ride with anybody. And, of course, all the ropers, Tom Farley and all the Farleys, all the Buckmeyers and the Yorkses. And I'm sure I'm missing out on a bunch of them. Them are all neighbors of mine. There was just a huge amount of cowboys here and around the Attica area. And shoot, Mike Swearingen, I grew up 3 miles down the road.
Yeah,
it was easier to get into rodeo because I had all these guys around me. And it was easy to find traveling partners. Freddie lived about 7 miles away from me. And we traveled a bunch together. I traveled a little bit with the Swearingen, mostly with Fred. And I think that's the reason why Attica has been nominated as Rodeo of the Year so much, is because that was a hometown rodeo for so many of us. I remember voting on that the first year that the APRA gave that award. Mm-hmm. And it was Attica. At the time, they were one of the bigger rodeos. They added more money, and it was hometown rodeo. So I know that's why they have had that award so many times, is because so many of us are from this area. Mm-hmm. I remember Shane Carson riding there as a specialty act, a good friend of mine. I remember, of course, Keith Isley, one of the best clowns to ever put on makeup. He was always there. It was like a homecoming. Because everybody was there and you knew everybody.
Attica has won the prestigious American Professional Rodeo of the Year many times. And as Kelly said, rodeo cowboys help rodeo cowboys get better and learn their skill. Dean Sawyer talks about the Attica rodeo feel.
There's a creek runs right behind the ground there. Some of the kids and people would go down there and swim, and a lot of the people that come were from quite a ways off, so they camped out there on the ground. There was always a kind of a group of people that seemed to get along pretty well with each other. Mm-hmm. They're there to have fun. There was no bitterness over you or against this guy. You're all kind of like family.
Speaking of family, Chuck Muscolino shares his memories.
For the 50-year reunion at the Attica Rodeo was fantastic. I seen guys there that I remember from when I was 10, 11 years old. And that was fantastic to see them. There was a fellow there, McAllister. he was from our neighborhood, and he had a chuck wagon, and he traveled all over the country with it. And that was a big night there, real big night. And everybody was there. I met a lot of good people there, Dave Wheeler, Gene Sawyer, who I highly respect. Meeting Dean was one of the highlights of my Attica career. And then Attica's brought in Team Tenon. And Dad, I don't care how old you are, you still can do that if you can sit on a horse. And I started Team Tenon and made the rodeo quite a few years in a row and just enjoyed it. And then the girls in the neighborhood, which horses attract all the young girls, they all came over and started riding, and not all of them wanted to be a pleasure rider, and they started cattle penning and sorting and barrel racing, and this has been going on now for, oh God, 50 years probably. One of the best memories I have of Attica was 2 weeks ago on a Friday night. We had a bunch of kids there sorting for the first time, and they did wonderful. They did fantastic. Didn't get 10 cows. They probably got at least half of them, which was fantastic. I thought they did real well, and we had a great time there.
More Attica memories shared and more Attica memories in the making. Chuck's memory from only a couple weeks ago. And building on what we said earlier, cowboys, cowgirls helping each other, having fun in the process. And not all rodeo memories at Attica are in the rodeo arena. Rob Wright shares his memories.
The party is everything down there, I think. Parties and some of the stuff that happens afterwards. Chad Oleski and the pony. He had picked up this pony before he come to the rodeo. And typical, as the night went on, the party got done, Chad got a wild hare to ride his pony. But nobody was around. Well, he couldn't get in the arena and ride the pony and shut the gates, so he just went to ride. He said, I'll be all right. Well, we find this all out the next day. He's gimping around. We're like, what the heck happened to you? He says, I got in the arena to ride that pony last night, and he bucked me off. And then he took off out the end of the arena, and he's running around the parking lot with the trailers, and Chad's trying to catch him. None of us found this out until the next day. But, oh, did we razz him, still razz him when I get a chance on it. IPRA champion bronc rider gets bucked off at the pony at Attica.
Chuck Muscolino shares his stories.
I got one little story for you. I got my grandkids with me, right? They're teenage girls at the time. And they team penned in the rodeo. And they were having a good time, so we went over to the beer tent. I said, go dance a little bit. So there was a couple of brothers there that team penned. They were about their age. And I says, so I called them over. I said, go dance with the girls. Can we? I said, yeah, you can. So they were dancing with the girls. So they go over, and they were standing by the beer tent bar. And one guy says, hey, why don't you come back to the trailer? We got a case of beer. So the one kid says, you know whose kids these are? And the guy goes, no. He goes, well, they're Chuck Muscolino. He said, go see your grandfather.
And you can't talk about Attica without talking about the Attica weather.
I've seen guys bulldog with white shirts on and become up brown. Yeah, some of the funnier things you want to see is like the kids that, I don't know, maybe it was a calf scramble where they had a pony ripping off the calf's tail. And the one that the parents would put them in there, when they got back, they looked like they were brown from the mud and everything. And a lot of rough stock rides, you see that, and guys getting flipped off and coming off bowls head first or something.
Rob Wright shares his thoughts on the weather in Attica.
Weather. Guaranteed it's probably going to rain. Luckily, it hasn't sometimes, but so much rain that the cops want us to evacuate because they think the creek's going to flood. We have had a flood there before. We're scrambling to get out of there on a Sunday because it is about to flood. So weather-wise, yeah, you can't control it. It's still going to go on.
Earlier, we talked about Attica being the hometown rodeo for a lot of rodeo cowboys and cowgirls. And one of those hometown cowboys is, of course, Mr. Sam Swearingen. He not only went on and won 2 world championships riding saddle broncs and representing the state of New York, but he also founded the Rawhide Rodeo Company, which was a producer of the Attica Rodeo for over 30 years. He and Rob sit down and share their memories of weather.
Yeah, I was remembering the calf scramble and the rain. The worst rain I ever seen there was, I don't remember the year, but Jerry Wayne Olson was trying to do the Justin Boots, and Sunday night it was raining so hard. I was on the bucking chutes, and I couldn't even hardly see them from there at the outgate. Wow. That was bad.
Wow. That was the year I got hurt riding that horse between shows.
Oh, yeah.
I got flung off and busted my sprained an ankle, broken ankle. Yeah, I was sitting at the handicap, and you couldn't see halfway down the arena at all.
It was
raining hard. And I'm like, no, because it was always horse related. It was just the way it was. But how it's changed, just the field fencing, and you think now how unsafe that was. And the roof over the stock now, the reason why that went in, them back pens were death traps because of the rain and the mud, and it was just railroad ties and page wire. How more sophisticated and better it all is in the relatively short period of time.
Kelly Page talks about riding and competing in the rain.
Attica, it could be the driest year in history, and come Attica, you could guarantee that it was going to monsoon on Thursday or Friday, just so we had a nice muddy arena to play in. It would be easier to remember the years where it was dry. I remember coming out of the chute. The chutes are covered at Attica, which is super nice. But I remember coming out of the chutes and in the bareback riding, get your head slung around a lot, and most of the time you're looking up at the sky. I remember thinking that I was going to drown because it was raining so hard.
Dean Sawyer talks about the club adding additional events.
And the rodeo club itself, you see, they have a barrel race every Thursday night. And Friday night, they have team penning. And so Thursday night, they have a big participation of youth with their horses. It gives those kids a place to come. It's a family type deal. I see people there that were kids. They're grown up now. Now some of them have got kids. It's a family type deal. Yep. That's all. They look forward to coming every week because they're about the same people there, and there's quite a few people come every week, that's all. Exactly. And the team pennant is the same way. That team pennant has got to be a big thing.
Yep.
And so, like, the club itself is just, it seems like they're always doing something to improve the facility they have. They don't have any too much land there, but they do very well with what they've got.
In addition to all the great competitors that have come through that rodeo arena, they have also had one of the greatest rodeo announcers of all times. He announced there for over 25 years, and he announced their 50th anniversary. And of course, I'm talking about John Downing, a dear friend of mine. Mr. Dean Sawyer shares his thoughts.
John Downing, he was one of my best friends that I met through that rodeo. His daughter's Lisa, and I've talked to her several times, and we've kept in contact. John loved that rodeo. He loved to come to Attica, that's all. And he was a great announcer, a great spokesman for the rodeo.
In addition to the annual rodeo that's held every August, they also have other events that go on throughout the course of the year. Dean talks about what goes on.
Not everybody understands all the work that goes into that club. It's not just the rodeo they have. They have something going on there all summer long. Clinics, like barrel racing clinics. And they just had a big benefit for a local girl here. It was fabulous that day. They had quite a benefit for my wife. Got hurt really bad with a horse probably 18, 19 years ago. I don't know, somewhere in there. They had a benefit for her. They did that for different people throughout the years, that's all. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's a great family deal.
Think of this, a rodeo club that gives back to its community year after year after year. not just from the funds that are raised during the rodeo, but also the benefits that Dean was talking about. And earlier this summer, there was a benefit for Miss Melanie Rottenstraw Domes, a second-generation club member, daughter of Becky and Jean Rottenstraw, who grew up in this rodeo arena, and now her and Shannon's three kids are competing here. So far, we've talked about team penning and rodeo competitions. And did you know, in 2012, there was a wedding at intermission in the rodeo arena? Miss Anita Brown shares her story.
So Mike and I started team penning there, very racing, did a lot of stuff at Attica Rodeo, and always had a lot of fun. Mike and I ride horse all the time, and he said, can't get married at the Attica Rodeo. I said, I'll ask Sandy if we can. So they said yes. Everything was set up. And I had a nice preacher. He said I ride horseback, but I said not necessary. So also, Rebecca Gates is a past Frontier Rodeo Queen. She's also in my wedding, too. And I had a good time. Everybody was real helpful, and it come out real good. And they also paid George State, crushed my heart. So they did everything perfect. I can't say enough good about the people that put on the rodeo.
Weddings in the rodeo arena at intermission, and a lot of family stories have been shared. Here's one more that Miss Peggy Spade shares with us.
And then after we met, we got involved with the team penning, which is a great sport. Had many happy times every Friday night at Attica for him to compete and for me to do some judging, which I did for several years. He did very well there. We had a blast. We met all our friends there, and we all hung together. And when it was rodeo time, it was just a blast. Everybody would bring food. We'd all have picnics together. And as I'm sure that Sandy Brewer's dad can tell you, what a great time we used to have. We went through rain and storms and lightning, and one particular time, some boys got knocked off of the fence underneath the lean-to for the cows. They were taking care of the cows and got lightning right through them, but they came through all right. They did a good job, good kids. Everybody there is family-oriented. It's just a great place to have a great time with great people. And sadly enough, Phil passed away December 10th. Of last year, but his mind was always on riding, and I'm sure everybody's going to miss him. But I will tell you one really funny thing that happened at one of the rodeos. He made the finals like he usually did, and he had packed up his clothes in the trailer. We got there early and had a picnic with everybody, and now it was time to ride. And he's looking for his pants, and he can't find them. He forgot to pack his jeans to wear in the rodeo. So that was a real big event. Everybody's laughing their heads off because he was such a jokester. Anyway, they thought he was kidding. But as it turns out, he wasn't kidding. So Darren Roberts, who was also one of our dear friends that rides a lot at Attica, he loaned him a pair of pants. Now, Phil was 5'7", weighed probably 150 pounds. And Darren is 6 foot and weighs over 200 pounds. So you can imagine how the pants fit. But he got through the weekend with Darren's pants. He put his chaps on over it, and away he went. He came out pretty good, too. So all in all, Attica is the place to be in our area down there. And I miss it terribly because now I'm here in Florida. And I advise anybody that's interested in horses or whatever, barrel racing, whatever the sport may be, Attica is the place to be because they're wonderful people.
Attica is about family, friends, relationships, which all create memories. Chuck Muscolino shares his experience.
And I met a lot of good people there. Dave Wheeler, Gene Sawyer, who I highly respect. I'll give you my family's involvement. Either I rode, my my daughters rode, my grandkids rode in the Attica Rodeo. They barrel raced, they penned, did whatever. And my horses are still competing to this day. I got a team of sorting horses and penning horses. They're there every Friday night, depending on which ones we use. So we do a lot of that still to this day, and it's wonderful. I could tell you more about Odiaca Club if you're interested in that. They Please. Put on, of course, the rodeo, and they put on horse shows. They have roping events, barrel racing every Thursday night, team penning and sorting every Friday night. It's a wonderful thing here. And you'd be surprised how many people do not know of this place or that there are still cowboys in New York State.
Yes, there are still cowboys and cowgirls in New York State. Past competitors in the Attica Rodeo Arena include Dalen Swearingen, the 2022 PBR bull riding champion, and his brother Colton, a steer wrestler, who just competed in the final round in Cheyenne. John McCormick shares his final thoughts on the boys in the white shirts.
I go every Saturday and I'll probably go Sunday too. There are boys that started this club really stood out to me because I was young back then and these guys went out and started this thing and got it going and kept it going. Probably had some hard times in between. But like I say, it was love with what they were doing, being around the horses and stuff. And they got this idea and followed the dream and followed it and incorporated it. The thing that stands out with me is when I go to it, there's all ages there. And everybody has a good time. It's good fun. And it's good for the community. I think the town of Attica was put on the map by this. I mean, you get riders and stuff from Canada, Wyoming, all over the United States, and local. You have some locals from Warsaw, and it brings everybody together.
Dean Sawyer, one of the original boys in the white shirts, gives us his final thought.
It's still a club. It's not an individual thing. It's a membership thing. And you've got kids that start out as kids. And I've been around it long enough. Then you see them, they've grown up. They're adults. It looks to me like it's a good place for good habits. Not only that, it's not like two people are, one wants to be better than the other one. They're all as complementary and helpful to the guy and the girl. They're new at it. They're trying to learn about it.
And Chuck Muscolino wraps it up for us.
Put it on the map, I think. Just a lot of congrats and stuff for doing what they did. And,
right.
When you see people get together like this and have a good time, it's good, clean fun, and a great show.
As Dean Sawyer said, a good place for good habits. The things that we have heard over and over again in these rodeo memories, people helping people, people caring for people, it's all based on relationships, and all of these things combined create the memories that have been shared here, and we need more of that. I would like to thank all the people that shared their memories and their thoughts with us, Miss Jenny Kerr, Miss Peggy Spade, Miss Anita Brown, John McCormick, Chuck Muscolino, Rob Wright, Kelly Page, and Sam Swearingen. We would also like to thank Sandy Brewer for their help and support of putting this episode together. Now, we hope you enjoyed this episode of our podcast about the 66 years of Attica Rodeo. If you do, please share it with your friends. To make your listening easier, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, search for Beyond the Chutes on any platform that you listen to your podcasts on. Make sure to like us, rate us, give us comments, subscribe, follow. Let us hear from you. And if you like reels, those short, quick, 30-second reels, we've got reels. We want you to check out our Beyond the Chutes Facebook page and follow us. And we've got a brand new website. It is beyondtheshoots.show, where all these episodes and all kinds of other things are put up. And we'd like to say thank you to Parasite Systems for their support with our podcast. Parasite System is a push-button parasitic diagnostic system for your pasture animals, your horses, cattle, goats, sheep, and chickens, and for your companion animals now, your dogs and your cats. We say keep your rodeo horses in top condition. The miles you are driving during this rodeo season, they are riding. You can find them at parasitesystems.com. That's parasite as in S-I-G-H-T, systems.com. And we've got a coupon code to help you out, 50% off if you use this coupon, BTC023. And we'd like to give a great big thank you to the New York State Rodeo Museum Facebook page. They are the inspiration for this rodeo podcast. Find them, follow them, check them out. And this is Beyond the Chutes Rodeo Podcast. Until next time, this is Doug Simcox. Thank you for listening.